Morning. I'm going to talk as long as I have a voice. But God's got this. Well, it's that time of year again when our optimism leads us to make New Year's resolutions, make great promises to ourselves of the things we're going to improve in the coming year. So let's be honest. How many of you have made New Year's resolutions? Yeah? Some? All right. How many of you said, this year I determine it's going to be different? Yeah? I've said that. Now, what if I said, I want you to forget about your resolutions. Just take those lists and throw them out. I want to share with you today, I have something better. Way better than your New Year's resolutions. See, man-made resolutions, we just set up rules for ourselves to follow. We try to correct our bad habits. Sometimes we try to follow these rules by our own will, and sometimes we pray and ask God's help. But resolutions are all about self. And I want to talk about a better way. This morning I want to talk about revival. It goes way beyond New Year's resolutions. We recognize the fact that God has already set up the rules for our lives that we should be living by. We focus on Him instead of our weaknesses, our bad habits. See, revival starts within you. But then as people see the changes, as God works in your life, as you change the things in a new year, it's like ripples in a pond that go out from you to help others, to be an inspiration, to lead them to God Himself. So we have a new year. We have a man-made starting point where we not only turn the calendar page, we start a new calendar. It's a blank slate, a clean start. So what do you want in 2018? Do you want just another year? Or do you want to be revitalized? For changes to actually mean something. Because we approach them in the right way. Not from self, but from our relationship with God. So where do you stand this morning? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Is your walk with Jesus on solid ground? Or are you like that snow that we had a couple days ago, just blown in the wind, wherever the wind takes you? We're going to talk about a relationship with God in a little bit. But right now I want to talk about the Bible, the Old and New Testament. In there we find God's promises to us. God promises many of things, but they all come with conditions. For God to bless us, we have to do something. Those are called covenants. And this morning I want to talk about four commitments I believe we need to make in this upcoming year that I guarantee will make a radical difference in your life. You've probably heard them before, and they're fairly simple, but sometimes hard to put into effect. And the first one is, I want you to commit yourself to forget your failures. 2,000 years ago, Paul told us in the letter to Philippians, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, he said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This advice has stood the test of time. There's nothing any more relevant or practical for us today. God is here with us today that you don't have to be weighed down and held back by your past failures. And I believe that if we want to be honest and truthful with ourselves, every one of us has failed in some way in this last year. Maybe we have painful memories of a failed relationship. Maybe a decision, a wrong decision that caused a split, a rift in a family. Maybe we failed our children in some way. Or maybe the children have failed their parents. And maybe we failed ourselves. We've done those things that we know does not bring glory to God. We've faltered in our duty to God, our relationship with Him. What God's Word is saying is that we must not allow ourselves to be bogged down as we move ahead. We have to get over our past failures. We have to forgive ourselves and move forward. God's in the forgiving business. We approach Him and we confess our sins. He forgives and helps us to move forward. I think the start of the new year is a great time to take on that challenge. Say to yourself, I'm going to, with the help of God, forget my past. Lord knows I have things in my past that I have to forget. I have to move forward, the regrets and the sorrows. But what I'm going to do this year is I'm going to stop torturing myself with the help of God. I'm going to put it where it should be, in the rearview mirror, and never look back. The new year is a good time to stop being chained to your failures. God's Word said here, He does not want you to be chained and held back. Jesus died on the cross that there should be forgiveness. There could be forgiveness. And when we accept Christ and we become Christians, that should become a reality in our life. We have received Christ's forgiveness. So why is it so hard for us to forgive ourselves? We need to focus on the example of the cross. And I ask you, do you need that this morning? Do you need to be able to forgive yourselves? Well, God's only a prayer away. Reach out, allow Him to help you accept the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and be able to forgive yourselves. And the second thing I want you to do, I want you to commit yourselves to give up your grudges. Colossians 3:13 says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. You catch that challenge? As Christ forgave you, you also must do. We don't have a choice in the matter. We can't say, well, I'll think about it, God. But I have some pretty big grudges, God. I don't know if I really want to let go of them. Let's face it, the human part of us sometimes likes to hold on to a grudge. We like to nurture it and play it over in our mind how these things should work out, how we should get the upper hand. That's not the way Christ does it. That's not the example that He gave us. God's Word and those words challenges us directly and personally to give up our grudges. What is a grudge? It's a deep resentment that we let cultivate in our lives against someone. It's an unforgiving spirit that leads to unforgiving attitudes and unforgiving actions. Harboring a grudge is like nurturing a dislike for someone. Grudges are dangerous because they're destructive. They eat you up from inside. We may not realize it, and we may not feel it directly, but it interferes with your worship, interferes your relationship with God Almighty. Grudges destroy marriages. They break up families. They ruin friendships, and grudges split churches. Today, if you're holding a grudge against someone, then God has something to say to you. He says, give it up. But notice what God's saying here. He isn't saying ignore whatever the person has done to you. He isn't asking you to pretend that it didn't happen. He doesn't ask you to condone it, not to pretend it didn't happen. What God is asking you to do is forgive the grievance. Think of your sins, the things in your life. We've asked God to forgive us. So how hard is it for us to forgive those around us, to let go of those grudges. I'm absolutely certain that everyone here has harbored a grudge at some point in their life, if not right now. Forgive the grievance you have against your parents for something that you perceive that they didn't or they did do. Forgive your children for the same reasons. Give up the grudge you have against someone at work because of the way they mistreated you. Give up the grudge that comes from an argument that you've had with a friend or a family member. See, Christ suffered the pain of the cross so we could be forgiven our sins. Then surely you can give up your grievance, whatever the cost. Your cost is not going to be as great as the cost that Jesus Christ paid for us. The third thing I want you to commit to is restored relationships. The Lord issues us a challenge in Romans 12:18. He said, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. God's personally challenging each one of us to do whatever we can to restore relationships. Some relationships go wrong because of no fault of your own. Normally it takes two to tango, but sometimes things happen. And I want you to notice the first of the verse said, if it is possible. But if it is possible also means that you have to take an action. You can't just say, well, I prayed about that and I don't think they want to restore a relationship. No, God isn't saying that. He's directing us. If it is possible, you take the effort to try to restore relationship. It may be hard, but this new year, it's time to admit maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I caused a rift. It's time to sit down and talk. It's time to restore relationships. If you'll rise to that challenge and commit to restore broken relationships, I think you'll see your relationship with God increase and grow stronger. The fourth thing I want you to look at is commit yourself to turn your back on your transgressions. Turn your back on your sins. I watched a history show on the Civil War. And it talked about after the war, the freed slaves left the plantations and the farms and started new lives. Some of the freed slaves stayed and farmed the land as sharecroppers. And many of the slaves decided to stay with their former masters and continue to do just what they were told. They were set free, but they chose to live their lives out as slaves. And the New Testament tells us that's exactly how many Christians choose to live their lives. God died to set them free. The Holy Spirit has given them power they need to change their lives and rise above. But just like those former slaves, they decide to obey their old master, sin. Romans 6:2 says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? God says, do not let sin control the way you live your life. Do not give in to your lustful desires, the desires of this world. He says to turn your back on your transgressions. Christian writers write about a thing called besetting sins. When we become a Christian, some of the sins in our lives are easy to give up. They're easy to walk away from and turn our back on. And we feel like we're really victorious. And we're really doing something for God and our lives are improving. But then there's those other sins. The besetting sins, the ones that we have a hard time giving up. The things that we continually do when we know we shouldn't. And sometimes we choose to cripple our spiritual lives because we say, okay, I can't get over this sin, so I'm going to live with it. I'm going to continue to do it, even though I know in my heart that it's wrong. Some of these sins, like a bad temper that you nurture and you carry, a caustic tongue, that you like to gossip and assassinate people's characters. May we've learned to live with that critical, judgmental attitude that we carry around. We can't overcome, so we just decide to live with it. God in His Word challenges you to turn your back on it. Whatever that sin is, I'm telling you this morning that you have the power to overcome any sin that you have in your life. 2018 would be a great time to make that commitment that God, through your power, through your help, I'm going to overcome that flaw in my life. I'm going to overcome that point that I fall short in my service to you. It's so easy to give in to sin and whitewash it in our mind and say, well, I'm not really hurting anyone. Well, you're hurting God. You're hurting your service to Him. He desires a relationship that is so close, that is so loving, that you can admit finally to God, I cannot overcome this thing in my life. And I guarantee you that God will help you. He'll help you overcome. Because you see, He desires that closer relationship. We can't do this on ourselves, by ourselves. That's why I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. I believe in a life change through a revival with Jesus Christ, with our Lord God. So where is your relationship with Christ? Do you even know Him as your Lord and Savior? Well, today is the best day I can think of to accept Him. At this moment, at this time, do you have faith that God will do what He says He'll do? And what about Christians? Where's your heart at this morning? Where do you stand? What do you truly believe? Do you truly believe that you can overcome the shortcomings in your life just by praying to God and listening to Him, to worship Him through reading your Bible, to gather together in fellowship and in Bible study, to lift Him up? How do you measure your life? There's two ways to do it. You can measure your life through the world, the things that go on around you. Do you measure yourself by the material things that you own? Does your happiness come from ownership? Does your joy come from power and control? See, peace is fleeting, and contentment, it's always just out of reach if you want to measure your life by the world. But what if you want to measure your life by God's holy word? Your life be measured on the spiritual things of God. Happiness does not depend on what you own. Contentment and joy come from God's blessing. And peace comes from knowing that God is in control and He will always love and care for us. It boils down this morning to what you truly believe. Is your life better trusting God and obeying Him and serving Him, or trusting mankind and serving the world? You can't have it both ways. You can't gather here on Sunday morning and say, I'm trusting in God, I'm worshiping Him, then leave here on Monday morning and go back to your civilian life and worship the things of the world. It doesn't work that way. I want to ask you this morning, will this new year just be changing your calendar over? Are you willing to rise to the challenges that I give you this morning? You're going to make a decision this morning whether you want to or not. Your decision is going to be shown by your actions. So what about the four commitments? Will you commit yourself to forget your failures? To forgive yourself and forget the past? Will you commit yourself to give up your grudges? To truly forgive others that have hurt you? Commit yourself to restored relationships take a true positive step to reach out to those that your relationships have been broken? Will you commit yourself to turning your back on your transgressions, to ask God's forgiveness, and to no longer be a slave to the sin in your life? I don't want 2018 to be just another year. I want it to be a start of a revival that lasts the rest of the days that I'm here on earth. You see, when you serve God, when you go to Him with an open heart and you're truly seeking a revival in your life, it doesn't run by calendar pages. It runs by heartbeats and breaths. For as long as you're here on this earth, that relationship can grow and grow and grow, and it never stops. Because we'll never ever reach the depth of God's love until we go to be with Him. But I sure want to try. I want to reach out. I want to start at this point in time to feel the revival in my heart that can only come from God. Let's all stand together. I have one more scripture for you. And I think if we can get this one right, all the other things will start to fall in place. Mark 12, verse 30 and 31. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. It takes an action on our part. It takes effort on our part to turn off the TV set, turn off the video games, turn our cell phones face down on the kitchen table, and reach out to God in prayer. You can worship God at home, open your Bible and read. It takes effort. It takes commitment. And verse 31 says, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. How can I read this verse and hold a grudge against a neighbor? How can I read these verses and not reach out a forgiving hand to a split relationship? Yeah, they may reject you, but that's on them. You've done your part. You've taken an action. You're being obedient to God and reaching out in His love. Jesus was rejected, so we shouldn't feel bad. But we have Him. We have the strength of our Lord. It's my prayer this morning that each and every one of you will look at those four commitments and take them to heart. And not just look at 2018 as some new resolutions to get healthy or whatever you may think. But instead, reach out to God for revival in your life.